This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, you miss a lot if you miss a little. Congratulations to Brian from Hamilton.
Bri guy.
He won a $200 Amex gift card in the Superbox Bonanza, and also he can win the big prize.
Yummy.
What a yummy, yummy
Superbox Bonanza.
It is amazing.
The Superbox Bonanza.
You're all going to be thinking about it all day.
All right, it's time for the Gangrene Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. This really jumped out at me. This is from Dan Leberfeld, okay? He quotes Michael Lombardi, a former NFL GM, who was on the GM.
The team forever.
Yes, on the GM Shuffle podcast. This is what Michael Lombardi said. I hear the owner, Woody, wants LaFleur gone, and Saleh is digging in the trenches. It will be interesting to see how this plays out. I heard the owner wants to get rid of the entire offensive staff. Now, let's say that's true. So there's a couple ways you could look at it. You have about $2 billion. I think he bought the team for $800 million. But, I mean, if the Jets were sold right now, they'd probably get $4 billion. So you get a lot of money invested in this. And it's your toy, and you can do what you want to do. But if I was Robert Saleh, I would dig in as well. You're the owner. How do you know a good offensive coach? I know a good offensive coach. How do you know? Now, if Joe Douglas came to me and said, you know what, maybe it's time to move on from LaFleur, I would consider it. Woody Johnson wants the entire offensive staff fired? If Robert Saleh digs in, what's Woody going to do? Fire him? And if he fires him, then he goes out on his sword and he goes out looking like a stud and he will get another job because he's done a good job here. Look how far the Jets have come from Adam Gase. So Woody better tread carefully. And I like the fact that Saleh is digging in. I think you have to dig in. You're the head coach. You have to live with these coaches. And I mean, the thing that's a little awkward, he's very close with LaFleur personally. They're friends. And all of a sudden, you're just gonna fire him because the owner wants him gone?
There's a couple of things at play, multiple things at play that have to be discussed. First of all, Woody might be right. Matter of fact, I think Woody is right. I think you've got to change the offensive staff. If you're going to bring back Wilson, how can you bring back the same staff? You're chasing your own tail. But you're right about Saleh, because once you start letting the owner make you fire your coaches, your guys, you know you're next. You're opening the door for you to be next. That always ends up.
And you're opening door for more meddling.
Right. And that's the Saleh. It's like, oh, listen, you've done a good job, but you got to change your offensive coordinators. You know you're going to end up going to be next. So you might as well. And Saleh's done this. There's been evidence of him doing this. Peter, we talked about it earlier in the week about how he's covering a lot up, and he seems to be lying, quite frankly, about some things. So well that I think he's showing you, hey, I'm a good team coach, so if I get fired here, I want another general manager or owner to look at me and say, you can trust Robert Saleh. He's a good guy. So if you see the writing on the wall, Michael, yeah, go to battle for LaFleur to at least prove to the rest of the NFL and to all the other coaches in the NFL that you're a good guy. You're a loyal guy. You're somebody that I want to hire. You're somebody I want to work under. But all that kind of points to, you know, that the ice under your feet is very thin.
You know, if we had Woody Johnson on, I mean, I'd ask Woody, how do you know a good offensive staff? How do you know? Don't you have to trust your football people? Joe Douglas thinks he shouldn't be fired, Joe Douglas is the GM.
It's his toy, man.
It's
not wrong. It's not an outlandish thought.
He hasn't done a great job, but has he not done a great job because Zach Wilson's just not a great player? Well,
but if I'm bringing Zach Wilson back, Michael, I'm sorry, I got to let LaFleur go. I can't have the same thing over and over again. Now, if you want to leave it out, hey, you guys figure it out yourself. But if I own a team, Michael, even if I'm not like an expert on football, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to look at it and say, or Vince Lombardi for that matter, why am I bringing back a quarterback for a third year with the same coaching staff if it hasn't worked the previous two? If anything, he's taking a step back.
Okay, so he wants the whole offensive staff. He wants the running back coach gone? Brees Hall was going to be
all-pro. Well, I don't know if that's exaggerating.
Well, that's what Mike Lombardi said. He wants the entire offensive staff gone. So what I would do if I was Woody, if Sala digs in, I simply say, okay, do what George Steinbrenner used to say. When people would, like, fight back when he went, all right, if it doesn't work, you're out. You're fired at the end of next year. If you guys don't make the playoffs, and if Zach Wilson still stinks, you're fired. That's it. That's what's on the line right now, Robert.
But
that's
that,
what I would
do. Yeah, that's a given, though, isn't it? I mean, they can't go. If they go and have the same season next year, yeah, everybody's going to
right, he's going to be gone no matter what.
But the idea is I don't want next year to go the same way. All evidence points to the same thing happening next year. What, do you think Wilson's all of a sudden going to figure it out? You think Daniel Jones all of a sudden figured it out? Or did Kafka and Dable have something to do with it? I would think Kafka and Dable had a lot to do with it.
Michael, you stand by the fact that you used to work at the New York Post, right?
I certainly do.
And whenever I badmouth them, Michael always defends.
Always.
Always defends them, right?
Very loyal.
I just stumbled on a headline on the New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
Are you confident enough that to blind trust your former newspaper to say right now that I'll show you the headline and you'll just read it on air as the credible piece of a newspaper?
Is it about me?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I would read it.
You will?
Sure.
So I'm going to just show you the screen.
Yep.
And I just expect you to read what it's going to say.
Okay.
All right. This is from the New York Post. This is a live active article right now. Go ahead.
I don't want to say the second word.
What do you mean? It's legal.
Okay. My boobs became huge after I drank my dad's beer while naked.
Headline. Don, that's a headline in the paper.
No, it's a headline online.
Same
it's
thing.
Looking for clicks.
My boobs became huge after I drank my dad's beer while naked. Right. It's not even creative.
Who's looking for clicks, Michael?
What do you mean, who's looking for
you
clicks?
You said, no, no,
the
no.
The New York Post.
It wasn't in the paper, but it's still the New York Post looking for clicks.
How do you defend
I know
that?
You were loyal back in the day.
So
get
loyal.
Off the horse, man. No, it's dying.
You know what? Don, I haven't read the article yet. Maybe it's got some important stuff
well,
in here.
Well, maybe it's really bright stuff. Anyway, Mike Tannenbaum was on DNR this morning, and he asked, can Zach Wilson actually be fixed?
Yes, he is, but he has to earn it every day. He doesn't need to go to some frickin' quarterback coach in California and run drills in the sand. He needs to be in Florham Park, New Jersey, every single day, earning the trust and confidence of his coaches and teammates. And that starts, like, now. Like, I'll give you 10 days off, but on February 1st, you're in this building every day, and he's lost the benefit of the doubt, but you can earn it back. Coaches, GMs, players, they're selfish. They want to be with people that can help them win. If he can convince that organization that he's the guy that can help them win, he could stick around.
Mike also said that to us last Friday. So, I mean, why would he be anywhere but Florham Park the entire year?
Well, what's Mike suggesting? That, again, this is another little shot at he's not doing all the work.
No, but he said he shouldn't be with a quarterback coach or a guru in California running on the beach. He should be in Florham Park.
So I guess he's suggesting that it isn't LaFleur's fault, that this guy isn't putting in all the work necessary.
Or maybe he's putting in the work that, sometimes people run in place. He's saying he shouldn't be with a private quarterback coach. He should be doing it with the team. And also what we heard about LaFleur, that he kept it, Steve Young said, he kept Wilson at arm's length. Wilson needs loving. He doesn't need to be kept at arm's length.
Okay, I'll play along.
Well, that's what Steve Young said.
No.
He has a mustard-colored jacket. You don't.
No. I'm fine with what Steve said. I'll play along with the idea that that's a reasonable situation to even be in. But that could end well.
The way I took the arm's length, meaning that you're not getting in his face. You're kind of letting him do what he wants to do because he's Zach Wilson. He's the second overall pick. I mean, that's what's being suggested in that room. That there were special rules for different people and that he was treated differently than the rest of the team. And that's why they got mad at him, because they didn't benefit from it, because he ended up being the worst player. Like, so keeping him at arm's length, like dragging him close, not to hug him, but to get in his face and say, you've got to work harder. Let's go. Let's do the work. Let's read the playbook. Let's do that again. Let's run that again.
And then, which also gives a lot of context to why the team was so upset with his little statement of not taking responsibility, because it came after months of them thinking this guy doesn't put in the same work, he's not good, and now he doesn't take blame?
And wasn't that verified, Anthony? You sent it to us earlier, Elijah Moore's dad. Was it the tweet that he sent?
Yep.
Did you read that, Michael?
I did read it. I read everything.
I think we should read it to the audience, no?
I'll do
I'd
it,
like you
I'll
to.
I'll do it right now.
Well, the first to punch it up wins.
All right, here it is.
I'll let you two race.
This was a very good... Somebody broke down the Jets' offense, and Moore's dad, Moore to Life, said this was a very good breakdown, but the real problem stems from protecting some players over others, as well as protecting staff. Many had to suffer all season because of it. Poor decisions and a lot of lost relationships. So much talent was wasted this season. SMH, which is shake my head.
So basically what he's saying is, Zach's pampered, LaFleur sucks, let's move on.
Right.
That's what he's saying, no?
And I guess they were willing to have the quarterback pampered if there was going to be results. So they whiffed. They thought pampering him would be the best for him, and that's not the case. They got to coach him up. Now, maybe he's not coachable. You're right, Michael. Maybe no matter who you bring in here, you know, the ghost of Bill Walsh might not be able to correct him. But all I know is if I am committed to Zach Wilson next year, I got to change it up. I've got to get another voice in there. I have to. And I think Robert Saleh, as loyal as he is, has to understand that. Like Robert said, he's going to evaluate it. Well, if you're bringing Wilson back and he said it, we want to hold him to his word, guys, that he is thick-skinned and he's tough as nails and we believe he's got a future here and that he's a good quarterback. Well, if he's not playing well and you believe in him, then that means you don't believe in the coaching. You can't run it back again for a third year and expect the result to be different. And I tell you what, don't expect the players to be happy about no change either next year.
Yeah, how do you even go into camp with no other option? And imagine, is there a world in which they literally come back with Zach Wilson and Mike White?
No.
They re-sign Mike White?
There is no world. No.
So, humor me. Who's going to come in then?
I think it's Jimmy G.
So you think straight up they just go replace him?
Yeah. Well, he's going to be the backup quarterback.
Zach will be.
Yeah. Learn behind his veteran.
And by the way, and being behind Jimmy G means there's a chance he'll play.
He might get hurt.
Evidence suggests there's probably about 4 or 5 games a year where you're good for it.
Well, that is the Gangrene Report brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pickard designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. Before I go to the phones, I didn't even tell you guys this off the air because I want to tell you on the air.
Dear God.
So I got you get emails every now and from Disney Benefit Center. You know, we work for Disney.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So, you know, 401k stuff like that. I got one today at 1:30 p.m. And it was, are you ready to retire? Let's make it happen.
Oh, no.
Right there. I am not lying. And then it's the connection to Fidelity, who says the investments for retirement.
Wow.
Let's see if I got that.
So, like, who's pushing me to make
Tweet
this decision?
That! Print that! Someone's pushing you out the door.
Now, is that on your Disney account or your private account?
My private account.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Ready to retire? Let's make it happen. Right there.
Huh.
I thought they wanted me back.
And that's from Disney.
Disney.
Wow.
Disney Benefit Center.
Wow.
But if everybody got it.
No, you didn't get it, did you?
I'm looking.
My boobs became huge after I drank my dad's beer while naked.
What are they doing over there, Michael? Any idea? I did not receive it. You're not ready to retire. But you are of an age. You're going to be 62 in February.
I get it. Thanks.
That's the earliest retirement age, right?
Like, I don't know.
62.
I haven't looked into retiring.
I think
completely.
It's just a case of you're a month away from turning 62.
Right.
And Disney is sending you the information as if you were, you know, worked clerically or you sold tickets at the Disney park. We're Disney employees. Well, I bet you everyone that is at your age or older received that email. Please. You think somebody listens to the show and goes, oh, it sounds like Michael's thinking about retiring. Let's send him the information.
I don't think that anybody listened to the show. I think they're pushing me out. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you think maybe...
You ready to retire? Let's make it happen. I mean, it was almost joyful.
So who do you think... The question is then, who heard things that are going on rumblings?
I don't know.
Might have been the same whoever leaked the information in the New York Post in the first place.
Yeah! That person called Andrew and now sent me an email.
Correct.
Well, Robert Iger's got your cell phone. You have his number, right?
He does, yeah.
Wouldn't it be more effective if he just sent you a text saying the same
thing?
We
know exactly who Michael has in his cell phone, let's be honest. We know every number.
Really?
Yeah, you made that very clear in the last week.
Are you turning against me?
No way!
Well,
turning
against
you.
That was a heel move.
Me?
Right there?
Yeah. Just then. Yeah.
You're just
Listen, you're a jerk. Hold on. Michael does the same thing, okay? Michael loves skirting around and flirting with the topics of controversy. I'm just playing the game.
Good for you. Let's go to Joe and Clark. Joe and Clark.
What's up, guys?
How you
doing,
Joe?
What's going on, guys?
All good.
Good, Michael. All right, real quick, and Michael, I respect your opinion. Here's my problem with Sala. If he's in a fight for LaFleur, I think I speak for most Jet fans, well, we want LaFleur out, okay? We've seen enough from him. So if he's going to fight for LaFleur, and if that's the case, then Woody says, look, if he, you know what, if that's the case, then I'm going to fire you too. I have no problem with that, Michael. You said he did a great job. Mike, they lost 7 of their last 8 games, Michael. Last year they won 3 games. I think here's the things I don't like about him, Michael. I think the guy needs an edge. I watched Dable the first game of the season, Don. What's his name throws a pick? Jones throws a pick in that Tennessee game. Yeah. He gets right in his face. From that moment on, how many times did he get an offensive lineman's face? The guy, Sala, stands on the sideline with his arms folded. And I thought, Michael, late in the season, we weren't prepared for some of these games. The Seattle game, they came out flat after a 10-day layoff.
I mean,
there's a lot of things. His time management stinks.
And that's true.
I mean, I think he's soft, Michael. I'll be honest with you.
But, Joe, how many games did Gase win his last year?
Did he go 7-9 that year? I don't remember.
No.
He was 7-9 and then got 2-4.
Yeah, 2-14. So
whatever it was.
So he went from 2-14 to 4 wins to 7 wins. So if you want to say they lost 6, it's terrible they lost 6 in a row. And I agree about the Seattle game. They didn't look like they were prepared. I put that on the coach. They didn't seem like they were into it. But look what they were running out there for the 6 games. An ineffective Zach Wilson, a guy with broken ribs and Mike White, and Joe Flacco. As Don said the other day, any of the other 31 starting quarterbacks in the league, and the Jets are in the playoffs right now. We're talking about them preparing for the playoffs.
But I can understand a fan being frustrated that Sala is defending the one guy that everybody agrees should go, at least in their eyes. So is that a strike against Sala? I love his loyalty, but shouldn't Sala look and say, we've got to change something here. If we're going to bring Zach Wilson back, I've got to change my offensive coordinator. If he can't see that, that would worry me.
Well, it's also a little bit of a conundrum. If you get rid of LaFleur, and from what I'm hearing from people, Sala wants LaFleur because he thinks LaFleur and Garoppolo would be great together and could be an enticement for Garoppolo to come to the Jets. But the bottom line is, who's coming to this team to be the offensive coordinator if Robert Sala is essentially on a one-year deal? So Frank Reich, you know, some people might say, well, you get Frank Reich, and then Frank Reich will just take over as the head coach if they fire LaFleur, if they fire Sala. Really? Frank Reich has been awful as a head coach. He's great as a coordinator. What did he do with the quarterbacks as a head coach in Indy? Nothing. Okay, so who else? Maybe McDaniel in Miami. There's whispers he could get fired, even though they made the playoffs, because the owner is a big Michigan guy and really longs for Jim Harbaugh. I mean, they're very close. That could work. I mean, there are people out there, but it's not easy to bring in another system.
No, I understand that, but sometimes I think we look at this the wrong way. Even in the history of the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. What's been their one Achilles heel? Finding a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
Well, maybe where they really need to look is, do we have people that can cultivate a franchise quarterback instead of trying to find the franchise quarterback? Like, so why don't you go out there and spend the money? You don't take a cap hit for spending on coaches.
Nope.
So go spend a fortune to bring in the right offensive guy, whether it's a head coach or an OC, to work with whoever the quarterback is. And if you're going to keep LaFleur to entice Garoppolo, then you know what? Blow the whole thing up. Give $30 million a year to Sean Payton and say, what quarterback wants to play with one of the best coaches in football? Come on. Come swing by here and see if you want to win a championship with a great defense, some great weapons, and Sean Payton, a Super Bowl champion coach. If you're going to do that, and keep LaFleur in hopes to get Garoppolo, which I'm not sure is any kind of panacea, go spend the money for Peyton and see who wants to play with him.
Yeah, but if you make a run at Peyton, you have to make sure you get Peyton because you're going to have to get rid of Sala first while you're flirting with Peyton. I mean, it's fraught with a lot of things that could go wrong.
I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying that if you're keeping LaFleur in the hopes of getting Garoppolo, just bring in a good offensive coordinator. Mike LaFleur might be good. He was a rookie offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Bring in an experienced guy.
Yeah, but you know what? Kafka is a rookie offensive coordinator, and two teams have asked to interview him as a head coach already. So rookie doesn't mean bad.
Robbie, but they rolled the dice, and they came up 7. The Jets rolled the dice and they got snake eyes, as it usually happens. So don't worry about rolling the dice. Go out and get somebody.
You know, we did a very unscientific countdown earlier, Peter, before you got here.
Okay.
14 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
10 of them are coached by offensive gurus. 3 by defensive guys. 1, John Harbaugh, was a special teams coach. 10 of the 14 teams in the playoffs, offensive coach. And the Jets never hire offensive. And when they do, they hire stiffs like Adam Gase.
Who was it?
Kotite and Gase, right?
Yeah, Kotite and Gase.
Everybody else was a defensive coach.
All defensive guys.
And so the 2 offensive coaches, they couldn't have picked worse guys.
Yeah. Kotite and Gase.
And Gase, oof.
Now, and one of the guys that's a defensive coach is Pete Carroll, but obviously he works well with coaches. Look at Russell Wilson's career. You think it just all of a sudden Russell Wilson lost it going to Denver and Geno Smith found it going to Seattle and it had nothing to do with Pete Carroll?
All right, let's take a brief timeout.
So true.
Take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We should talk to Shaq.
You want to take Shaq?
Yeah.
Well, my headphones are not working. Anyway, let's go to Shaq in Edison. Shaq.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Just
wanted to touch base with the bet and everything. It's officially, you know, over the season, so they're saying Purdy, Wilson, and Kenneth Walker. So I wanted to see, like, how you guys felt about everything. Does Garrett have less of a chance to get it now that the Jets are officially out of the playoffs?
And are you feeling like Sauce has it locked?
Yeah, Sauce is – he's – the last time that you were able to actually bet, he was like minus – what was it, 1,100?
Oh, wow.
It was something ridiculous. Yeah, so, yeah.
And for people who don't know what Shaq's talking about, Shaq called in the offseason – said that he believed the Jets would have the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, to which Don said, if that happens, I will get you tickets to every Jets game next season. And Shaq said if it didn't happen, he would give Don weekly Chinese food dinners for a lifetime. Don has reduced that bet to simply one Chinese feast for the show.
Right.
And that is now on the line. So, Don, what are you thinking? Could Garrett Wilson get this?
Yes, I would tell you. Without bias, because obviously it hurts my cause, that Wilson deserves it more than Purdy just because Wilson's done it all year. When did Purdy take over? Was it
6 weeks
ago? 6 weeks ago. Now, it's been amazing, and he's the quarterback of a team that's favored to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC outside of Philadelphia. But, God, Wilson got better and better, had no quarterbacks throwing him the ball. Shaq, I think you're in tremendous shape.
Wow. Okay. Kenneth Walker has had a great season, so I think it's neck and neck.
Here's what's going for me, Shaq. Will they want to give both to the same team? So will that hurt, say, Wilson's chances? Because I'm with you. I think Sauce has it sewn up. I think he's a lock to get the defensive rookie of the year. But are they leaning toward, do we really want to give it to the same team, especially a team that ended up finishing under 500? Purdy's such a great story.
Also, it's weird that Sauce was not named an All-Pro, which is voted on by the players. Who was better than him?
Yeah, I mean, he...
He's a rookie. I guess that's probably... We're talking defensive rookie of the year, you know, but he's a second-team All-Pro, I believe.
Kenneth Walker rushed for over 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4.6 yards a carry in Seattle. So...
I don't know how the vote works, like, you know... So they may not even have the ability to say, well, we can't give it to two Jets, because if the votes go that way, they go that way, right? But I think there's way more competition on the offensive side than the defensive side, but I'm willing to do it. He will attend, on me, every home Jet game next season.
See, but you're lying a little bit. You're going to try to get free tickets. It's not going to be on you,
no,
per se.
Well, then why did I say, no, there's a reason I said on me. I didn't say I'd get him into the building. I can get him into the building free every single game.
Right. You're going to pay for tickets.
But that's not really, that's, other than the aggravation of having to make the phone calls to get the tickets, really, what is that? He's putting in a financial burden into this by having, but, I let him off the hook with a lifetime sesame chicken, but that's going to be an expensive meal. He's going to be going... Taking the show out to this Chinese restaurant, Peter, you're talking about, that's $5. He's going to spend like $500.
But,
so that's going to be
a
sacrifice financially.
The one by the sign?
No, but I made no commitment where the tickets will be.
Yeah, but that's not right.
What do you mean that's not
right? Don't put him in nosebleed territory.
The idea was to get him season tickets. Now, I said, listen, I don't know if I can get you season tickets, but I will get you in the building every game. And he said that was cool. And I will pay out of my pocket to get him there. I'm not going to call. Listen, I think he'd love being in the suite.
I mean, if you get him a couple suite games, I'm sure he's not.
I don't think he's going to complain.
No.
But there will be some financial loss by me to do this.
I think so.
Stop. What are you doing? Were you trying to make it worse for me?
What are you talking about?
No, just, oh, it's on you.
So if it was up to you.
Right.
You would want him to go try to just get official season tickets.
I think you should get him a personal seat license, too.
And pay for the PSL.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the bet.
No.
And plus, I let him off the hook with the lifetime sesame chicken. Nobody's letting me off the hook, are they?
No.
So if I want to kind of worm my way around this, where I'm not paying a PSL and he's sitting in the first row 50-yard line, or he's in the coach's club all year, that makes me a bad guy? Peter, I'm going to talk to Peter because Michael's a bad guy.
No,
don't ask a bad guy question.
You're fine. Now listen. If Shaq calls us week 7 and goes, Don's had me 4 rows from the top of the stadium at every game.
My ears are bleeding.
I can't even see. I don't even know what I'm watching. Well, I would say that's a bad job out of you.
No, you could say that, but I would tell him, you know, to shut up, enjoy the tickets. Wow. No, come on, man.
No, I mean,
listen, you're not a letter of the law guy. You got to do the right thing. This guy's a listener to the show.
Do the right thing.
The right thing is I told him he'd be in the building every game.
But you don't think it would be right.
And I can get him in the building for free
every
game.
So that means, let me look at you, Peter. That means if Don gets him a vendor's job, you know, selling beer, he's in the building.
No, that's not what I said. He's going to go as a fan.
And have seats.
Now, I might ask him, listen, I can get you a ticket. I'll get you 2 tickets to every game, which I didn't even commit to 2. I could just give him 1.
Oh,
I'm not going to be that guy.
God.
I'm not going to be that guy. You talk letter of the law.
From Jumpo, I said.
But he's got to go with somebody.
I said it has to be 2. I remember at the time, I go, you mean 2, right? You couldn't send
him. Well, let me ask you this. I could say to him, I could be completely within my right to get him 2 tickets to every home game. Doesn't know where he's going to sit, no parking pass. Or, with no financial loss for me, get him in the suite 8 times with a parking pass. What do you think he's going to take?
Sweet.
So why does that make me a bad guy?
If you can make that happen, I actually agree. It's that would be the biggest win for Shaq.
Right.
8 games with a parking pass? Who cares if he passed?
You know what? Don could really get, you know, beaten up this next. I mean, there could be 9 games at MetLife.
Well, I think we already know now. Right?
We know. We know. They've announced the home and away schedule.
There's 9 games, Don.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 9 games.
And by the way, would this include playoffs?
Of course. Every game. Every game. And they're making the playoffs next year.
This does not include the preseason, though.
Why?
I agree.
When you get a season ticket, you go to the preseason.
The preseason's garbage. Don, doing the right thing. I'm doing him a favor.
So I guess a lot of people are jumping on Jay Williams for...
We give you credit, Michael. I think you put up a good argument right now on your side.
Jay just tweeted this out.
Jay's responding.
Why do I have to be scared of what my dream job in sports is? Nah, I'm okay. Twitter doesn't affect me. I live in the real world. The real world is you don't covet somebody else's job. You could covet it secretly. You don't covet it publicly.
And then do you see Stan Van Gundy tweeted at him? And
no.
He responded? Keep looking. You looking at Jay's account?
No, I just saw, well, I'll see right now. What did he say?
Stan essentially said what you're saying, and Jay Williams basically told Stan, you know what, hey, I'm good. You'll see it.
Stan says, shouldn't be campaigning for a job that is open, have some integrity. And Jay says, Stan, I got asked what my dream job in sports is. It's okay. I know what I stand for daily.
But who asked? Because you tweeted it.
We should try to get Jay on. Why is Georgetown his dream job? Why didn't he go to Georgetown then? Why'd he go to Duke?
He
must have rooted for Georgetown when he was a kid.
He's not from D.C.
No, so Dave Rothenberg's not from D.C. and he's loves not Georgetown. From this
world. That's a great point.
Oh, well, listen, Georgetown, we were growing up. That was the bomb. I remember that was...
You don't have to tell me.
Dwight Wilbur, who...
Dwight Wilbur he's pulling.
Well, because he went to my high school.
Okay.
You know, I remember he was recruited by Georgetown, and he came in with the CBS baseball. Oh, you had to get the CBS baseball cap.
I've got that. I'll wear
that
it tomorrow.
That is an amazing hat.
I have it.
Like, so, no, what's the CBS baseball
cap? It's just a CBS Sports. It's in yellow.
Whenever you did an interview, like after it'd be like a giant Cowboy game, and they'd give him the hat during the interview, and he was like, oh, my God, the hat was beautiful. I don't know how cool it would look now to wear a hat from the
80s.
I'll
wear it tomorrow on the air.
But please, I want to see it. So that's going back to like 84. I mean, listen, there were in the 80s and 90s, Georgetown was.
Who are you telling? I grew up.
I'm just saying.
So
was it crazy?
Jay's what? 35 years old?
Jay's around my age.
Closer to 40.
Jay went to school when I was in school. He's about 40.
Just an aside. Do you think any parents name their child Wilbur anymore?
Not a lot of Wilbers.
Well, his name was Dwight Wilbur.
I get that. I'm just saying first name of Wilbur. Does anybody name their kid Wilbur?
I don't think there's a lot of Wilbers moving around out here.
Because, I mean, that would be a child that would hate his parents if you named him Wilbur. Is there a Wilbur out there? Call us. We'd like to know.
Well, you know, I also found out today. I was 0 years old when I found out, whatever it is. I'm
today years old.
I'm today years old. I don't know. Don't know what the kids say. It was the opinion of our meeting that out of the young rotation is the name Donna. I did not know that.
I don't think that's true.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Somebody spat
that
out that you don't see people named Donna anymore. I believe you do.
Oh, I know multiple Donnas. Donna Grin, Donna Sinar.
Does Donna Grin she at least smile? She happy person?
She is a happy person.
Yeah, she has to. Her name is Grin.
My cousin's name is Donna.
That's with a what?
Nancy's best friend's name is Donna.
My ex-girlfriend's name is Donna.
But these are people.
Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna.
I met a
girl. And Donna was her name.
Ba-da-da-da.
And I love my girl.
Wow.
You didn't think that was happening today on the
Again, one of the just get, you get caught up in just random movies when you're in a hotel.
I'm sure you do.
Especially up in Canada
I'm
where
sure
you don't
you
get,
do.
But no, but come on. This is on the Rangers dime. I'm not buying movies. Plus we're in the internet. Why would I have to buy a movie? But you're flipping around on the TV, especially in Canada where you don't get
porn.
The HBOs and the Showtimes and stuff. Well, you get like, so La Bamba was on, like FX or something.
Okay.
You get caught up in that movie. That's a good movie.
I'm gonna tell you guys I don't want to go as far as saying guilty pleasure.
Okay.
But we watched a movie over the weekend. I'm curious if Don's seen it.
By the way, is your seat lower today? It looks like you're like you're just behind the computer.
Yeah.
It's an accurate portrayal of how tall you are.
You're really a mess today.
Me?
Yeah. The Tribe Called Quest sweatshirt.
Wait, what's so messy about the sweatshirt?
Because nobody can appreciate that it's a Tribe Called Quest.
And nobody can see you because you're hiding behind
the computer. I just went up a little bit.
All right, hopefully, so please tell us about Donna Grin.
So, this isn't about Donna. It's about a movie that Natalie and I watched on television this weekend. Don, did you at any point over the last few years watch the Motley Crue vehicle?
No. Motley Crue to me is stripper music.
You're saying like that's a bad thing for a movie?
No, but the first two albums are good. Everything like Girls, course, Girls, Girls, Stop
I
Yourself.
I agree, yeah.
No, no,
Stop
no.
The first two albums I loved.
Literally, Girls, Girls, Girls might be the only song I know.
Because you've been in a lot of strip clubs.
I'm just saying the movie, The Dirt, it was actually a very enjoyable movie. I think you'd like it.
I wouldn't watch it.
Ozzy's in it. There's an Ozzy
scene. Sure he is. I'll listen. I love Ozzy. I'm not watching a Motley Crue movie. I'm not doing it.
On principle?
On principle, yes.
Yeah, that's how he is.
A lot of sex.
Right.
Wait, they actually show it?
What do you mean?
They show the sex?
There are sex scenes in the movie.
You know how it works in Hollywood, don't you?
I guess.
Are you asking if it's a triple X movie? No, no, it's a regular theatrical
release.
By the
way, I've been meaning to say this since we're talking about entertainment. You must. I watched the final episode of Tulsa King. It's so good.
Yeah. I'm behind a few. I'm back a few.
It's so good. What twist in that final episode?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Sly should win every award in the world.
By the way, Succession's back soon. Very excited.
Is it? Okay.
Very
good.
When you were away during the Christmas.
Uh-huh. During the Christmas.
Peter and I had a very intellectual segment. It was ended up being a segment.
I mentioned this to Michael.
On Stallone.
I told him he might be offended by it. I believe I got on the air one day and said, I've had a revelation. Sylvester Stallone's the worst actor in Hollywood.
And I
love the show.
It really depends on whether it's in his wheel. Like Rocky's in his wheelhouse.
Tulsa King's in his wheelhouse.
He's looking at me disgusted. I think as I watched further into Tulsa King, I thought his acting got better. Episode one, I was like, he's just being Rocky.
If you look at his speech that he gives to his son in Balboa,
yeah,
but Rocky Balboa, it's brilliant acting.
But that's
brilliant
him. No, but it's not like that's him. That's a speech he would give to his son.
Hey, Tommy, you know.
Yeah, I think you're both idiots. Anyway.
It's the open to Bart and Han.
I know.
I treated you like a son, Tommy.
That's not it. That was
Five.
Tommy Morrison. Yeah, that's his real son.
You got to get off the Rocky Five.
Yeah, well, you picked the worst Rocky.
It's one of those movies where everything.
That's one of the best ones to reference, though, because it's bad.
No, everything four is the worst.
No.
Worst,
no.
By the way, he saves the world?
By the way.
By dropping
I mean, it was the corny end to the movie.
That's what I mean.
I know a lot of things have happened over the last week. Michael should be suspended for what he just said.
No, you can't.
That
everything should have ended on, been
four
on the editing room.
People consider four the best one. A lot of people consider four their favorite one.
Well, four is that's just as ridiculous as saying that it's all.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
The best one is two.
No, the best one's one.
The best one's one.
Yeah, okay. But then after one, it's two.
There's one. And then there's a big step down, and then it becomes about what's the most entertaining. Three is very entertaining with
Two
Thunder Lips and Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
But four with Drago, it's a treat.
He dies.
But he
ended the Cold War. Stop.
I know. It wasn't realistic. Have you ever watched one of the fight scenes?
It's a corny end to the movie, I'll give you that. But Apollo dies.
Can I please go to break?
No. Not when you make something that ridiculous. No, we should be punished for the blowing off this break. We owe it to the listeners
to solve this.
We'll be back.
To lose money
just
because of what you said.
Right here on Yes in 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Mike Tannenbaum talked today on DiPietro and Rothenberg, how much money will Daniel Jones get in free agency?
What is he, a co-host today?
Yeah.
You know, for all the good things that the Giants have done, you know, this is one I'm sure they'd love to have that decision back. I think it's a minimum of $30 million a year for 3 years with at least half of it guaranteed. But candidly, if I'm Daniel Jones, I don't take that deal. And I want to see you franchise me, because if you let me go to the market, guys, there's at least 12 teams that need a quarterback, including the team they share the stadium with. And if he wasn't franchised and got to the market and I'm the Jets, I don't get out of a room without making Daniel Jones a Jet. And I know the Giants would be worried about that. And I think Daniel Jones has a massive amount of leverage. And while I think $30 million a year is fair and reasonable given the totality of his career, I think he may get a chance to get more. And I think franchising him has to be something the Giants have to strongly consider.
Am I the only one that's completely flabbergasted by this? I mean, he had a nice year. He was not thought of that highly, even by his own front office. They didn't give him a fifth year. And now people are talking about close to $40 million. And from people who respect, Mike Tannenbaum's done this job. The Jets are going to give this guy $35 million a year. He said if he hits free agency, the Jets shouldn't let him out of the building until they sign him. I'm sorry. I know I'm not Vince Lombardi. What am I not seeing? I think he's a nice player.
Well, it's all timing, Michael. Right now there's more teams that need quarterbacks than there are quarterbacks. So sometimes it's just a matter of the timing of it. Now, I believe I want to bring him back, but I do think there's a number, and $40 million a year just seems ridiculous.
Wow.
But if you offer him 30 and he decides to go test free agency, there may be a team like the Jets who say, you know what? I'll take that chance.
So the Jets really think he's the answer? That would be answer?
If not, then who?
But I'm just saying, well, there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
You mean a lot of, yeah. And there's a lot. But
there's not a lot of quarterbacks. So, like, if the Jets rank the quarterbacks available,
right.
Let's put Rodgers and Brady aside for a second. You don't think Daniel Jones is near the top?
Near.
I'd rather have him than Baker Mayfield.
Okay, yes. But would you rather have him than
Derek Carr?
Would you rather have him than Garoppolo?
Well, you got to make a deal with the Raiders for Carr, right? So you got to factor that in. And then I guess eventually you'd have to give him a contract, but I don't think he's a free agent yet.
Yeah, but he got his guaranteed money. So I think the Raiders would release him because otherwise they'd have to guarantee another $35 million if they keep him on the roster.
Here's the rub. He had a very good season. I think he had a very, considering everything that he working against him. But I do believe, kind of siding with you, Michael, like, let's say we get him weapons and they decide to throw more. Well, is it possible he'll throw more interceptions and be sacked more and fumble the ball more and look more like he did earlier in his career? Or could he blossom into an even better quarterback with weapons?
Is it possible, and I'm glad you brought that up, that Dable knows exactly what he can do and kept guardrails on him?
Well, is it possible? I'm being a negative Nancy here. I recognize that. Is it possible that him and Kenny Golladay couldn't connect and then Davis Webb shows up and immediately throws a touchdown to Kenny Golladay? We just don't know exactly who he is yet. And we're also playing with Tonka trucks, to be honest, guys, because this whole conversation needs to be had in 5 days. Let's see what he does in this playoff. This is going to be a big moment for him. If he doesn't show up at all, if all of a sudden he has the big turnover, Don, fumbles in the key spot, all of a sudden the people who are calling up saying, yep, and on the flip side of that coin, if he's fantastic, throws a couple touchdowns, runs for one, they win, I think, Michael, it'll be much more palatable for you to think about close to $40 million.
It does show you, though, that all the so-called experts in the game, they're not experts. Even Joe Shane and Dable, who have shown to be a good tandem, have turned this around in a hurry, they didn't like him. Otherwise, they'd have him next year for nothing. For $18 million.
Well,
didn't like him.
We still don't know that they're going to offer him
that. Right.
For all we know is they might walk away.
So you think that if Daniel Jones was a free agent after last year, Don, last year, not this one, last year, is he getting $20 million?
No, but they would have gave him the fifth-year option.
No, I get it. But if he was a free agent after the last year...
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. No, listen,
all these 12 teams, I mean, it's amazing. So people don't know anything. It took Brian Dable to, like, polish the stone and make it a diamond?
Look how long it took Dable to get the job as a head coach, right?
26
years. Nobody knows exactly what they're doing. It's an educated guess, and some are more educated than others, but it's not an exact science. But you need a quarterback. And I would ask the same question to the Giants that I would ask the Jets. If you don't give Jones the money, who are you giving the money to? Is it going to be another project? There isn't a lot of guys out there to go out and get.
It's funny because if Jones's success is directly attributable to Brian Dable, then you can go get any quarterback and he could do that with him. He's done it with two already. Maybe he gets Mike White and turns him into a star. Right?
Yeah. No.
If it's all on him, I mean, how much is Dable and how much is it was time for Daniel Jones to
blossom? I do think there has to be a budget. 30, I think, would be my limit. Now, if I got to start going, we're starting to talk $40 million a year. Now, the Giants do have cap space, but they also need a lot of other things, too. So if you throw $40 million at him, so maybe it does come down. So what's the cap hit then? What, 31? Mm-hmm. If they franchise him?
It would be whatever it is, whatever the number
is. Well, I'll tell you what, I would franchise him before I give him $40 million. I'll buy another
then
year.
You can't franchise Saquon.
Right.
I think I'm okay with that. I love for Saquon. But
you sign him or you let him go?
You try to sign him.
Listen, I'll find a running back is a lot easier than finding a quarterback.
Jordan Ronan, who covers the Giants for us, said, for anyone who will make a definitive declaration based off the first career playoff game for any of these quarterbacks, Eli threw for 113 yards with three interceptions in his playoff debut. Giants got shut out. He went on to have two of the greatest runs in postseason history.
Right. Eli also is literally, Jordan, I hear what you're saying. Eli is also literally an impossible comparison to anyone in any world. Eli is a quarterback who during the regular season looked pedestrian and downright bad at times, who then would go to the playoffs and become Superman. So people are going to watch this playoff game and make some, and I think have the right to make some sort of decision on how they feel about Daniel Jones.
I understand that his second half last year wasn't great, but how damaging was that Ram game for Kyler Murray last year?
And by the way, has he been the same guy since?
So I understand you're not supposed to judge these guys, but you only have a limited window on how to judge them. And I will say this. If you're up in the air about Jones, then you're going to put a lot of stock in that game against Minnesota.
And also, Eli was signed.
They were in
for Diamond for a dollar.
And
this guy, you have to decide what you're going to give him. And so you're going to make a big judgment on the playoff game.
And the Kyler game that Don's referring to, where he laid an absolute egg last year, he still convinced them to give him the money.
Right.
And then he came out and he wasn't the same guy. And then he got hurt. He's actually the cautionary tale going into this game.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. A lot more to talk about. We still have to. We have yet to talk about the Correa situation. I have some more information.
And we have to address something that was said earlier on the show, which was a fireable offense that Michael needs to apologize for.
The Rocky IV thing?
Yeah.
What the F?
Rocky IV to me was so again, we'll play.
I would have no problem if we broke this down for an entire ENN.
I have a problem.
I don't know how much you prepared ENN, but if you haven't, I'd suggest
just to go for it. The minute he wakes up, he's prepared.
Yeah, I've been prepared since 6 a.m. Are you kidding?
You've been preparing your whole life.
Of course I have.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.